sounded good
anyway. Amen, brother. Matthew chapter 21, if you'll turn there with me this morning. Matthew chapter 21. I want to speak to you this morning about the subject of the authority of Jesus in your life today. The authority of Jesus. First off, you and I as Christians should recognize that God is the supreme authority, right? He alone deserves our full submission, our allegiance, and trust as our good and perfect authority. Now, Scripture is very clear on this point, and it should give us as His people great comfort in this truth, that God is in control. God is the supreme authority. But there's some people that we know about today have trouble with authority figures, for instance. Some people were raised to not respect any type of authority in their life. And so, therefore, as they became adults, they have issues with those who have been placed in authority over them. Still others have been abused by a person that they trusted and submitted to, whether it's a parent or sibling, a friend or spouse, a teacher, a boss, a government official, or even a religious leader. And great suffering happens to folks when they've been subjected to this kind of mistreatment. But we recognize that God's grace is sufficient to meet this kind of hurt. Perhaps you have had that kind of experience where someone who has placed over authority, in authority over you, have abused that. I know that I have. But God is gracious to His people, is He not? God is a refuge for those who suffer. Unlike those who suffer abuse from authority on this earth, God uses authority for our good. Therefore, we can trust Him and we can submit fully to Him without any reservations, and He will guide our lives. But now we read in the Bible where some who said they believed in God had trouble with Jesus' authority. Now, there's a lot of people that have trouble with Jesus' authority even now. Some folks that might have been raised to not respect any kind of authority in their life. We see that a lot today, don't we? Not any respect, for instance, for police officers and other people who've been placed in authority over them. And they have issues with that. Because they have issues with that, then when we try to lead them to saving faith in Jesus and tell them that now Jesus is the authority figure in their life, they stumble at that, and they have problems with that. Now we read in the Bible this morning, let's begin reading in our text today, Matthew 21 at verse 23, and we're going to see this kind of thing play out. In verse 23 it says, "And when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, 'By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?' Jesus answered them, 'I also will ask you one question, and if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where did it come from heaven or from man?' And they discussed it among themselves, saying, 'If we say from heaven, he'll say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet.' So they answered Jesus, 'We do not know.' And he said to them, 'Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things.'" Now, we see this resistance to Jesus' authority from the religious leaders, those Jewish religious leaders of that day. You'll recall when Jesus first came into Jerusalem, just prior to his crucifixion, he received praise and worship from the people. You remember we talk about that on Palm Sunday every year when Jesus comes in and He's riding on the donkey and everybody's praising him. And so he received all this praise and worship. And then later he went in and he saw that the temple of God was being misused. And he cleansed the temple of all those people who were abusing God's house. And then he taught the people in the temple courts about the Messiah coming and taught them about himself. And now you have the Jewish chief priest and elders asking Jesus, who gave you authority to do all these things? Well, then Jesus returned their question as we read there, and he says if they would answer his question, then he would tell them by what authority that he did these things. Then he asked them about the baptism of John the Baptist. He says, well, was it from heaven or from man? Now, some today still wonder if Christianity, now these are ones on the outside looking in, they wonder, is Christianity, is that from God, or is it just another man-made religion like so many others in the world today? But this question that these Jewish leaders asked Jesus, it wasn't an innocent question. They had already rejected John the Baptist. You remember John came preaching, it said, in the wilderness, the Bible says, a message of repentance. He was the forerunner to Jesus, and he came preaching this message of repentance from sin so the people would prepare their hearts for the coming Messiah. Well, the religious leaders, the Jewish leaders, they resisted all that, and they refused to believe what John was doing, and then later they refused to recognize who Jesus was. And so they're asking him this question, by what authority do you come? See, they're just seeing Jesus as a man. By what authority do you come doing all these things? And they fumbled around with the question for a few minutes. You know, if we say that John's baptism came from heaven, he's going to ask us, then how come we didn't believe? And if we say that John's baptism came from man, then the people are going to mob us because they all think John's a great prophet. And so they're kind of going back and forth with this thing. And so finally, they said, we don't know. Isn't that the classic answer? You know, if you don't want to answer the question, I don't know. Well, we don't know. And so this fear, I mean, they stumbled at Jesus' question about John the Baptist because they were afraid of what other people might think. This fear that made the Jewish leaders stumble about Jesus' authority is the same fear that causes people to question Jesus' authority today. They're afraid of what their friends might think, or they're afraid of what their family might think. If I put all of my faith and submit my heart to Jesus, then I'm afraid what somebody might think. Well, I'm going to tell you this morning, I don't care what anybody thinks. I know who the authority is. Jesus is the authority, and I'm going to submit myself to the best as I am humanly possible to Jesus Christ. Amen? Well, what about us? What about you? Would you question Jesus' authority in your life today? Does he not really hold authority? I tell you, I struggle with that sometimes when I'm trying to deal with problems in life and so forth. And it's when you try to take control of things yourself and you say, well, you know, I can do this, I can do that. Or maybe I make the wrong decision. And then I think, does Jesus really have authority in my life? Is he really guiding my life? Is he really Lord of my life? Now, you know, we say we believe, yet we don't do what Jesus tells us to do. We say that we're believers. We say that we trust Jesus, but then we don't do what he says. So would we let unbelief and the opinions of people control us, or will we submit to the authority of Jesus? It's really only one way or the other, isn't it? I mean, these are solid questions, because to submit to the authority of Jesus means that we let Jesus control our lives. To submit to the authority of Jesus means that we follow Him faithfully and we do what He says. To submit to the authority of Jesus means we don't care about the opinions of other people. We just care about what Jesus thinks, right? What does He say? And so will you let Jesus just have control of your life today? Would you let Him be an authority of your life? The Jewish leaders, they didn't want to answer Jesus' question because they were afraid. And so they just said, I don't know. I don't know. Jesus, what happened here is Jesus uncovered what was really in their hearts. And He continued by telling this story that would really draw out their hearts. And it's a story about two sons. Pick up again in verse 28. He said, what do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, son, go and work in the vineyard today. And he answered, I will not. But afterward he changed his mind and he went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And he answered, I go, sir, but did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, the first. Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, that tax collectors and prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and prostitutes believed him, and even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe him. Now, as we think about this story, I want you to think about what your own response would be to the authoritative call of Jesus. As he's telling this story, you remember he's still talking to this group of Jewish religious leaders who questioned his authority. And he's referring to John the Baptist as the father in this story, who gave virtually the same command to each of these two sons. But their reactions were quite different as we saw. The first son, well, that represents sinners coming to John in repentance of their sins. The second son represents the Jewish leaders that he's talking to. So in the story, both sons are asked the same question. Son, go and work in my vineyard. That sounds pretty straight up, doesn't it? Go and work in my vineyard. Is there any reason why somebody would misunderstand that? Go and work. That sounds pretty straight up. So the first son said, yes, I'll go. Or no, he said no. The first son said, no. No, I won't go. Father asked him, son, go work in my vineyard. He says, no, I won't. But later, I guess he thought about it a while. Maybe he thought about what kind of trouble he'd be in if he didn't go. That's what I would always think if my dad told me to do something and then I told, well, for starters, if I told him no, when I finally got up off the ground after him knocking me out, then I'd probably go and do it. But this son said no, but he later changed his mind and he went. The second son, he said, sure, I'll go. But then he didn't. And so Jesus asked these Jewish leaders, which one do you think did the will of his father? They said, the first. Well, they were right. But what they didn't understand is they just incriminated themselves because Jesus was talking about the son that never went. And so, in essence, they said, yes, I'll follow God. But then they didn't follow God. Now, God has called all sinners to turn from their sins and trust Him totally and completely for salvation. Do we agree on that this morning? The first son, representing the ones who obeyed, although refusing at first, they later repented of their sins and they followed Jesus. The second son, representing these Jewish leaders and actually so-called Christians today, they said they would but their actions and their life said that they didn't, right? Like these Jewish leaders, there's many today who have said they would repent of their sins and follow Jesus, but they didn't. They spoke the words, but their lives didn't change. Now, it's astonishing to consider who is identified in this parable as being obedient to the Father. It wasn't the well-dressed and outwardly religious. It was prostitutes and tax collectors. Isn't that amazing? Women who were slaves to sex had turned from that life to Jesus, and they were radically transformed through the ministry of John the Baptist. They had previously tried to find satisfaction in other people, but now they found that true satisfaction was only in Jesus. And then men like Matthew, who God used to write this gospel that we're looking at, this book in the Bible that we're looking at. He was changed from a greedy tax collector to a lavish giver. Radically changed. Yet these religious Jews who had seen these great changes in all of these people who came to John, God's grace changed their lives. They had seen all these wonderful things that Christ had done, and yet they just refused to believe. With their lips, they said they loved God, but their hearts were far from Him. They ultimately failed to follow Him. They stood up and said, "Yes, we'll follow God, we'll obey God," but then they didn't. They were like the second son who said, "Yes," but their lives said no. They confessed faith in Christ, but there was no repentance of their sins. Are you hearing me this morning, what I'm saying? There are people today who say they have trusted Jesus as their Savior. There are people today who come to church every Sunday and say, "Jesus is my Savior. I follow Jesus." But their lives don't show that there's ever been any kind of change in their lives. Their life is no different today than it was before. And they're setting a poor example for all those people out there that need to find Jesus, but all they see is the Christians who act like they're following Jesus, but their lives don't show it. They say that they do, but their life doesn't show it. They confessed faith in Christ, but there was no repentance of their sins. You know you can't have it both ways, can you? You can't confess Christ as Savior and say you're going to live for Him and you're still in sin. Now, I'm not saying you're never going to sin again, because as long as we're in a human body, we're going to sin, aren't we? You're probably going to sin before the day gets over. You might even sin before you leave this house today, right? Because we are weak, fleshly human beings. But we need to have the mind of repentance. We need to have the mind of having our hearts right before God. And if we're dabbling around in some sin that we know better, we need to do something about it, don't we? If we're really going to be Christians, and if we're really going to follow God, then we need to get things straight, don't we? That is the reason why churches today are so ineffective in reaching the lost, is because the folks inside haven't got it right with Jesus. And I'm telling you, we've got to get it right with Jesus. There shouldn't be any reason why a church would be ineffective in reaching people for Christ. There really shouldn't. And so the question is, have you confessed Jesus, but you haven't really been obedient to Him? Have you said that you're a Christian, but you've never submitted to the authority of Jesus in your life? I'm telling you, if Jesus doesn't have the place of authority in your life as a Christian, there's problems with that, is there not? There's problems with that. And so does Jesus rule and reign in your life, or are you like the religious leaders in the story and just play acting through the thing. I mean, they were really play acting, weren't they? They had it right in front of their face. They saw John the Baptist out there baptizing people, and they saw what was going on. And they saw those same people that had gone out there. They said, these people used to be prostitutes, and these people used to be sinners and tax collectors and so forth. By the way, tax collectors and sinners is synonymous in the Bible. And you say, amen, brother. But it's past April 15th now, so we're okay, right? Another year. But, you know, they saw all these people and their lives were being changed, radically changed for Jesus, and they still didn't get it. They still didn't believe. What's up with that? What is up with that? And so does Jesus have that place of authority in our lives? Or are we just like those religious leaders? I hope not. My prayer today is that we'll consider where we stand with Jesus today. Amen. Would you stand with me and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for a time together that we can look at your word. It's some very difficult things, Lord, for a lot of us, Lord, to look at your word and see what it says and it's clear to us. Lord, would you give us the strength that we need to understand that you have the rightful place of authority in our lives. Lord, I lift each one, including myself, to your throne this morning and pray, Lord, that we would really consider this thing of you having supreme rule in our lives. As we sang earlier, Lord, it's not about us. It's about Jesus. And so I pray that that would be true in everybody's life here today. Help us be effective people, effective witnesses for you, Lord, with our life that has been changed because you have been placed in that seat of authority in our lives. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.